Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo.
Yo, yo.
And we back, and we back.
Episode 145, and I'm out of your weight class. What? Want to survive, better scramble like eggs and break fast. Shout out to T.I. for that line. And also that line is also insane, like, as an adult when you think about it. 145, that is slim. If you 5'9 and you 140, like, if I turn 140, I'm going to look sick. If I 140 pounds is not a lot of weight.
Not at all.
That's me right there.
You 145?
Yeah, I'm 140.
Huh? God damn.
Yeah, I'm pretty.
At 6'1". God damn,
I'm pretty light, man.
Yeah, pretty. Shit.
Like, the boxers can pull it off, like, you know, when they...
I'm like 5'11", 3'4". So I ain't fully 6'1".
No, you 6'1", because I go by
6'1". I'm 6'foot with shoes, though, so...
I go by 6 foot, so you got to go by 6'1".
I go by 5'7". So we are what we say we are. Yeah. You know, I get, you know, that's what it says on my license, and... like the great Roy Johnson said, I'll only lie about what I know you can't prove.
He's an honest liar, remember?
Yeah, he's an honest liar. Oh, my God. Do we want to get into it? Do we want to?
Off
the top. Why not?
Best documentary of the year.
Yes.
So
insane.
I don't know what that
is. A whole bunch of fuckers.
Hey, man, listen. It's a lot. It is insane. As far as insanity goes, like, it's
I don't
like,
know. Manziel, man.
Manziel. Yo, no, man. But it was like stuff we knew. It was kind of a lot of
nah,
stuff.
Nah, we know.
I ain't say all of it. No, we can't act like we know. I knew none of this. No, it was stories that were speculative and all that stuff. But no, of course, it's a great doc. But I'm saying this shit was from left field. Yeah, it was a whole lot of information and story
just showed me how much stuff that happened during that 2020 to 2021 COVID period that just like kind of like happened and we kind of like flew by because we had more shit to worry about, and you come back and yo, that was fucking crazy. Like that whole Bishop Sycamore is just nasty. You know what I'm saying? BS high, you know, on Max or HBO Max, whatever you call it.
Yeah, it's on Max. Yo, yeah, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. I promise you.
It's main character, villain, Roy Johnson. This man was basically running an insurance scam. 150, yeah. Once he realized it cost $150 million to start that school, he was like, "All right, we gonna start finessing."
That nigga said, "Fuck that." you want to talk about a dollar in a dream? He had a dollar in a dream, and when they told him what that dollar amount was, he said,
"Nope,
nah, fuck that." All right, so we gonna make it look like we gonna bring you to the soccer facility to practice. The only people that he was really paying, probably that legit got paid, was the videographers.
Like, they got $60, $30 a piece.
Oh, okay. He finessed them too.
He said he got that for gas.
They got it for gas. To be videographers at first, like they gave him an offer and he cut them a check. But after, because he had him do something else too.
We basically just ran the whole communications department.
They ran the social media. They ran the social media as videographers. He paid them well. He paid them what they asked. All that stuff without even linking, like they said. But when he had them run the social media, they just got $60. And Roy was like, "It's friendship. That ain't business. That's friendship. Yeah, you're supposed to do that for me. We friends."
the only reason he gave him. The money that they was asking for initially was because he was like, this has to be portrayed a certain way. It has to look a certain way. So I need you guys to make it look a certain way. So I need, those are the only people that he needed because he was putting up a front. It was all a front. It was all fake. So it had to look good at least. it had to look great. So, that was crazy. But so if you don't know, if you haven't seen it, it was about this fake charter school. That a guy that just loved football, wanted to coach football, decided he wanted to finesse it the gangway. So he didn't have any school, any scholastic backing for it. Well, he tried to associate with some churches, but when they found out he was full of shit or whatever, they, you know, discommunicated from him. He didn't want to build it the right way, so he just was finessing. He recruited cat. His recruiting strategy was driving through neighborhoods, watching kids play football between two light poles and getting them. He was in the DMs crazy.
Yeah, he was in DMs crazy.
He was reaching out to any kid that had played any type of football, and he was
the Oranges story. You got to remember, he had a whole backstory about his brother playing football. And
told him
he was gonna be.
I didn't even get into Roy, but
we gonna talk about Russ. You came prepared with notes,
yeah, man.
I can't wait to. We gonna ISO to Russ. Where are we gonna start, Russ?
Kind of going back to what O said. So basically, when he started the whole insurance scam, basically what he did was he was talking to those those church people. And basically, he had signed them up for, like, basically, he had got them to sign up for life insurance policies.
Yeah, the COF.
Yeah, Academy. So basically, that left a percentage of their policy on death to the school, basically. So, like, they were just basically tied to the school. Soon enough, they were like, hey, yo, cut all connection with this. We're done with that. I think the biggest thing that was disturbing for me was probably just, like I told before we even got on the podcast, the way he was talking, like, when it was somehow he was, like, driving the neighbors looking for kids, he was basically like, yo, like, I'm Magneto and these kids are my mutants.
Yeah.
Motherfucker thought he had a whole X-Men. Just disgusting.
He had a few nasty Marvel references in there, but yeah.
Man, them is the Marvel fans that you, like, them is the people that, you know, Marvel don't want to influence with this stuff. Like, them people that are delusional. Like,
even the videographers, when they said the first meeting, he shows up in a big Adidas socks, Adidas sweatpants, and an Iron Man shirt. Oh,
just delusional, man.
Yeah, he's a bad cosign to Marvel. He called his homeboy Black Thanos.
Them is the people you don't want watching your movies, man. They're special. Like I said, like he a special type of scam. Like, I'm like, he's not an elite level scammer. No, he's delusional to the point that he feels
to call
like,
him what he is a psychopath. This, yeah, this man shows psychotic tendencies. Like,
yeah, man.
It only got crazier. What?
Yeah.
So,
man.
All right. So what happened next, Russ?
So basically, after that, the plan was basically target all kids from, you know, shaky backgrounds, neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? You've been arrested a couple times. Come on down to Bishop Sycamore.
Come on down.
You close to being homeless? You ain't got a father home? Come down to Bishop Sycamore. Your mom ain't around? She working all the time? Come down to Bishop Sycamore.
He said he literally quoted, he used the mantra of Suge Knight.
You don't want your coach all up in the Instagram videos? I was like,
come to Bishop Sycamore.
Yeah, man. And like, just like seeing like how like all the kids explained like their initial interaction with him, they were so excited and like, yeah, man, he was telling me this night, you know, we had a really good, he said he had all these people help me get my scores up. So just seeing all that and seeing like how it's kind of like, basically they got finessed, but in a sense it was like, oh man, I don't really understand how you thought this was going to end well. Like, he doesn't really seem like a trusted individual, but like you said, you know, yeah, way worse with them, you know, and their, you know, parents who might have been there, might not have been there. So,
like, I want to know, like, did he meet these kids' parents? Did he?
Oh no,
because like the level of sketch.
He DM'd him on Twitter,
but like I said, like, and he was the Loki of it all. It was all illusions. Like, he was like, oh man, he's like, these kids ain't seen nothing. Let me pick them up in the tour bus or the, you know, double decker bus. Oh yeah, let me show them that. Oh yeah, y'all staying in the
tour bus.
Y'all staying in the hotels.
Oh like, yeah, the homeboy that was there in the beginning and all that stuff. Like yeah. Get there, he pulls up in a tour bus.
Yeah, yeah, man, like,
with
yeah,
some kids.
They're like, oh shit, we ain't never seen no shit like this. Like I said, they in Ohio. Like, it ain't like they in a city that sees a bunch of extravagant
like
shit.
Like LA or like Florida or some like, shit.
Like, oh nah, they ain't never seen no shit like this before. You driving through hoods. Yeah, oh shit, he pulling up in that. You know what I mean? So.
No, but homeboy, you remember the dude that was there in the beginning? That was already, I wanted to choke this motherfucker.
Like, because he told him, he was like, man, he basically told him, he was like, okay, yeah, what you want to do, it's going to take a while because we got to build it up. Yeah. And blah, like, he, you know, he was trying to tell him how.
He was a realistic one.
Yeah.
He had done it. He'd done it before. Yeah. He knows what it actually takes to build a program for real. Like you can't just build a program like in 1 year, ain't that, like 2 years, 3 years. But
and he didn't.
Roy heard that and said, "Nah, fuck that."
Why do we do it the other way?
But it was just funny too because I'm thinking like, yo, the pitch. I'm like, wait, do you think that you could just build a state of the art facility in a year? You know how long it takes to build a fucking facility of any type, of any type. You know how long that takes.
Look at Dr. Umar, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, like. Like, you know how much money and time it actually takes? Like, you, so your plan, you know, you had like a 20-year plan. Your idea was a 20-year idea. Like, that wasn't no just, oh, yeah.
We doing 20 weeks. 20 weeks.
Nah, fuck that. I want to play a season starts in 2 months. That's what I'm getting at.
now, a big part of this, not a big part of this documentary, I think a part of this documentary that needs to be acknowledged is, yes, some of y'all are victims. Some of y'all are stupid. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Number one, the paintball company. Oh, y'all are dumb. Okay. I don't feel bad for you. Okay. Nope. No. $800 bill. Nope.
That was cute that they put that in the documentary.
Like, slide it in there. You know what I'm saying? We wasn't gonna notice it. Yeah. Like, nah. Y'all dumb as hell for being like, oh yeah, you know, you can leave the card here. You know.
So what happened was, Roy took all the kids again. Like I said, the kids, they like, shit, we have fun taking this paintball. He took the kids.
Gotta go to school. Shit.
He took the kids paintball. He gave them a Cash App card, not a credit card,
not a debit card.
A Cash App card. and said, hey, the person who named that card is going to come back and settle up with the money. And they said, okay, cool. That's your fault. That was
to them what a cash what a Cash App card is. Explain to like, the people who don't know why that's stupid.
If there's no money on this Cash App card, you can't swipe it for anything. Cash App won't let your account go negative or anything like that. Like it's not a card where we'll swipe it anyway, and you know the person will have to deal with the overdraft fees or anything like that. No, that's not what a Cash App card is.
Nope.
It's just gonna say decline. You know why it's gonna say decline? Because there's no money on the card. The name on the card was fucking Roy's name. Roy's name was on the card. Like he said the person's name on the card is gonna come back in. He said, oh, okay, cool. That's y'all fault. That was just bad business. Yeah. That was stupid. That was just dumb.
Yeah, you're a victim. Y'all fell for that.
There's nobody to go after, there's nobody to call, there's nobody anything. He basically gave you for collateral a piece of plastic that was worth
nothing.
and y'all took it.
As an established company, y'all literally took that.
Y'all deserve it.
Most companies, they're gonna say, hey, like you put like a little down, like a down payment, make sure we know you have some type of money. Like, hey, you know, put like $100 down, you pay the rest later once you're done, or something like that. You know what I mean? Not them. Nah, man, you good. And like I was saying before, it's not like they were like some like big team in the city, like they had pull like that. Like, oh, you know, like bro, y'all are nobody. Yeah. Like. No one knows y'all.
This is like a Boys and Girls Club field trip that pulled up here, and y'all just let it rock. Yeah, this
that's
is
basically a, what that whole pro- it was. Boys, it was not no school. It was Boys and Girls. It's an after school program. It's like it's just a club.
This is a park board. This is a park board team that. But Roy, he was about yo, hey, I want to get eyes on it. So how do I get eyes on us? We play we say we're down to play the best teams that have a hard time getting scheduled, because contrary to popular belief, when you are the best teams and you are the most
teams don't want to play y'all.
Team don't want to play y'all. They don't want to play y'all because one, they don't want to get beat, and two, it messes with player psyches. Like yeah, I mean it really messes the team up.
Boy, did it boost these kids, bro.
Roy was like, nah, fuck that. I want people to see us, and like I said, he's like, man, but even all of them, they had the same mindset. Like, man, even win or lose, if I do well against somebody's gonna see me, and that's gonna boost my style. Like everybody was out for themselves. Roy still talking about, yeah, well, you know what I mean, coach. That's our people called me after that game after they got beat the break. So they played one of the best, or the best prep school in the nation.
Shout out IMG.
IMG. Mm-hmm. Again, like I said, the whole prep school system is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah. There's no hybrid prep school slash.
Shout out LaMelo, too. He went there.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
That's what I
Oh, yeah, at. It is. Yep. Yeah. But now I'm just saying, look, prep schools is, hey, they're there for extremely great athletes that
don't want to go to school.
Aren't good at school. And,
don't want to take the ACT.
And you can go there, and that'll be your pathway to D1, because, you know, whatever.
Sports and vibes.
they'll make you take basketball as a class, and they'll give you credit for it. You know, it's like an alternative school. It's like a very, very well-funded alternative school. You get credits for doing anything. Volunteer, credit.
Show up on time. Credit.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And the GPA, oh, yeah, you got A for that. Hey, you went to a pottery class. Yes. So they played them. Like I said, they funnel a bunch of players probably to D1 programs and, you know, and all that. And like I said, they're the best at it. But like I said, people don't want to play them because they don't take it from the mindset of, hey, man, if I do well against them, I'm good. They like, nah, they're going to beat us up. These niggas big as hell. They got the best facility. And like I said, my kids are going to be scarred for life after. You know, whatever. So, but not Roy and them, not Bishop.
Not I.
They said we going at it, boy. They look so bad on the sidelines, man. When they were showing them videos, I'm like, oh, this just looks like a park board team. Like, yeah, like this doesn't look good at all.
Like, were they even running? That's right. He didn't even.
I know opposite coordinator.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said
he wasn't coaching. It didn't.
They said we run a play off Madden.
He had no coaching experience.
I don't know. I don't know what Roy did, honestly.
Yo, go out there and run a fade. A what?
But man, going further in the doc, they were just like, hey man, Roy about money. That's all he about. He a money man. He ain't about football. He ain't about nothing. He just talked to us
about cashing them checks.
Yeah. He was telling them this how you switch. He was trying to, you know, he was selling one of them seminars, one of them DJ Envy seminars.
Oh, yeah.
to the kids. Caesar at?
I think the
Ray Royce should have gotten the real estate. He sells.
Because even like the part when they were talking about how like the food, the feeding the kids part, and they were like, yeah, you know, at one point like we were eating the same food over and over. He would mix food with the same amount of food, eating this for like 3 days in a row. And then we talked about the scam he ran in the grocery store. He's like, I had this rotisserie chicken
scam.
Where I would call the grocery store, order 25 rotisserie chickens, and I would just never pick them up. And I know that because to make profit for the day, they have to discount them down to $2 a piece. I go at the end of the night, pick them all up. Feed the kids.
I'm going to give it a buck. That is a day-old scam. Somebody I knew, they used to work at a pizza spot, and it was like, hey, man, hey, around the end of the night, call in an order, and then about probably like 15 minutes, they call and cancel it. They still done made the pizza, so then I'm going to just bring it home because they're gonna, you know, because I was closing that night. So yeah, now when you say, I was like, oh, yeah, that's an old school scam. I've been around for that scam. That was pretty smart. That was a good move.
He had them kids starving to the point where they was raiding Walmart's and filling the carts, just running out of there to get the carts.
I'm gonna give it to Walmart. Yo, at that age though, they were having the time of their lives. Like, I just remember my mindset at 17, 18, one of my guys, he reposted a video a vlog that we made when we was like 18, 19 or whatever. And we were just bored one night. We was like, hey man, what's open? Walmart? Bet. So we was like walking up to employees, asking them questions, and then playing the wrap it up box sound from Dave Chappelle. Like that, we just bored. But we was having a ball. We was riding bikes through Walmart, just doing shit.
Well, those kids, survived. This was a survival tactic. They were like, we're starving. He's not feeding us.
Like I said, they were putting 20 on 10. Like I said, they was having a ball, not going to school, bullshitting around, playing football.
That part. But eventually, I'm hungry. That one chicken game, hey, that was great. But like, there's other times you got to feed them. That one night was cool, having to steal from Walmart. Yeah.
It was freedom.
That's how much they were starving. They got banned because there's no chase up policy. No chase at once.
Y'all small time. Y'all can keep that for taking 12 packs of Pepsi. Y'all should have been
Episode of Atlanta, like when they went to the shoot. There's a no chase policy. Like once you leave, they can't chase you.
And the craziest thing too is that like the only reason they're really able to keep moving out their movements because the team was terrible. Like if they actually surprisingly were good, that shit they would have probably found out that shit a lot sooner. But the fact they were terrible, even though they had people playing who were like 23, 21 years old, grown ass men out there playing and getting their ass whooped. And remember the part where they were like, we heard one of the players mention this. I think the camera crew was like, yeah, we heard one of the players mention like, yeah, we about to go out there and beat up some 16 and 17 year olds. Yeah. Walked down, got their ass whooped.
Yes. The infamous game against IMG on ESPN that opened people's eyes.
So I went back and actually read the game summary where, you know, they do like, oh, this is what the team needs to work on in the second half. They told IMG, yeah, honestly, just like, you know, maybe some players try to score faster. And they told the other team, they're like, yeah, Bishop Sycamore, please, maybe you find ways to, you know, sustain drives. I'm like, oh shit, I think IMG were just on some warm up shit. Like, hey, yo, let's try this new play out here. Like, we up like 49-0 right now. I'm like, man, just beating the brakes off.
Yeah, man, how many knees can we take, man? Is there a mercy rule? Like, they should put in the mercy rule, but they can't because it's on TV. So y'all got to play.
Run it up.
Y'all got to play this whole thing out. So it's just like, this shit ain't fun, man. These niggas suck. These grown men suck ass.
You're 21.
I was watching Oklahoma yesterday play Arkansas State. They beat them 73-0. Oklahoma beat the shit out of them.
I saw that. That was,
And they said new coach is crying. I'm like, I would have been like, dog, like. What are we doing at this point?
Hey, man. That's a great segue, too. College football back.
Oh, before we do, we wrap up this Bishop Sycamore.
So the only part I got left is just, basically how we talked about the financial stuff. All the rooms, you know what I'm saying? We're signing them kids' names.
Yeah. Yep.
So all them eviction notices are on your credit.
That's on your record.
PPP loans. None of them kids are like, I had no idea about a PPP loan. I called my dad. He told me to tell him to throw the paper away. They told me to throw the paper away. They did not throw that paper away. $20,000.
Yeah, $10,000.
I mean, and then That's about it.
Yeah, he ruined the life.
Nah, he ruined
no remorse. That's the overall thing.
No remorse.
He did them a favor.
Yeah, he felt like he rescued you from the gutter.
You ruined their lives forever. Yeah. Like, it's like they're not gonna climb out of that debt. Mm. And eviction notices and shit on it from multiple hotels and places. Like it's insane.
Because everybody knows the end of the doc. They always do the whole like writing for each person. Like, yo, after, you know. Ever since then, they've been doing this. None of them had happy stories. All of them was like, one of them was a rapper. Yeah, I think one of them was like,
just works. Like, it was funny. It was like two of them have like, okay, they might be okay. Let's do it. And then they start showing the failures the rest of their lives.
So-and-so's working for Pepsi. He's still hoping to, I think one was a rapper. One of them's hoping
still
to.
Still has hope. Like, it was multiple ones like, still has hopes of playing a football one day. Like, yo, give it up.
Brother, it is over.
And then what my biggest takeaway from this is if you watch that documentary, Roy Johnson gets more psychotic. The music gets more menacing and stuff than like dramatic. But like the more he gets riled up as it gets towards the end of the documentary, that this dude's a psychopath. And this is how crazy he is. He said, "Oh, I'm still gonna do it. I'm still gonna run back.
We coming back 2024.
We still coming back. I'm working on the comeback. Bam. There's so many reasons why that's not gonna work. One." Even if you did try to, you would have to, and this is out there. Like people are gonna know that you're a scammer. You admitted that you are that you are a liar. We have proof that you did all this to the kids. Also, you're not a football coach. We know you can't coach football. Like you're not. They're not gonna. You guaranteed all those kids that they were gonna get in D1 schools, and they didn't. So we know you don't have the capability of that. And then also, even if you do get enough players to do that, and you're blackballed, and every kid that plays for you is getting blackballed from playing college football. This documentary is out. It's public now. Yeah. You are fucked, and all those kids
be like LeVar trying to start another JBL.
Kids will sign up because
It'd be like him because remember he was guaranteed. Yeah, you know you come up, we gonna pay you.
Jersey.
Bro, you want to talk about? Yo, if they did a talk on how bad that
went, all them things. I think the only kids that are gonna play are kids that have no ambition to play football. They just want some free chicken and be on some hotel bus. It's a fun summer program or something.
One difference between like
I'm gonna go to my real school, but I'm gonna play for this football team so I can get some.
And one like difference between like LeVar shit, basketball is a worldwide sport. Mm-hmm. Like you can, so even if that shit didn't pan out, which obviously it didn't pan out, LaMelo was the only one that made it to the league, but he was gonna make it to the league regardless. Because he left. But football, American football is only a American thing.
Like
they're trying to push it overseas, but it's not.
It's
not an international game like that. So like everything, like you say, once you burnt up like that, it ain't really nowhere to go. Like it's over with.
He's not gonna get not one kid even if you're good, and you want to, and you go play. Guess what? He's black. They find out you're playing for Bishop Sycamore, which is not a real fucking school. They know you're not going D1.
like Roy at this like. Right now, all you can do is basically, like I said, them people that still think they can play football. We got friends our age are in their 20s that just want to play, like, still play football. I don't know why, but so they play for these leagues, these national leagues. You can be national champion, all that stuff.
You know,
like,
play for the big three. I'm joking. Yeah.
But
I saw Gilly balling against on the big three.
Shout out to big three, but then way more fish than these. But yeah, there are football like leagues for grown men and all that stuff, and you can still play. But that's. Roy, that's your best bet because you never, ever, 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 ever. Yeah, like your name is burnt, especially after this doc. So I hope you like this 15 minutes of fame.
Publicity.
Boy, ain't shit coming after.
And that's what puts that's what puts a hole in the hole. Yeah. All publicity is good publicity. You're fucked now. like this. It's not going to succeed.
Yeah, like you can't.
And you're not a coach. That's like,
you can't. No, you can't spin this into any other industry or making money anywhere else.
Yeah, because you're not proved to be trustworthy or like have a crazy work ethic.
You're
like,
proven to be psychotic.
There's no characteristics.
Like you showed the world how crazy. Like how emotional and domestic violence. Man, it's a lot of
shout out my guy Ben Ferry, man. Ben Ferry was on it, man. White dude, he had me dying the whole time. when Roy was like, yeah, man, where's the rules at? He's like, Roy, He's like, damn, he's like, bro, they don't have rules for not putting a nail in your leg. People like, know you're not stupid enough to do that.
To do it because it's stupid and it's unhealthy. There's no law against Bomani Jones had, that was a great quote from Bomani.
I'm trying to remember.
Shout out to Bomani.
Yeah, he did his thing.
He was smoking that, yeah.
Because he's like, imagine just running in. He's like, do you know how crazy to play a game on Friday and then to play a game on Sunday? It's like, imagine, he's like, run to a wall for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then do that again 2 days later. And then, like, and even when Ben Ferry was like, yeah, like, kind of explain how the system was so fucked up. Cause the problem is.
That was stupid logic. Like, there's no law against it. Yeah. Show me where there's law saying that you can't play 2 days in a row. Yeah, there's no law. That don't make it not stupid just cause there's no law for it.
But not only two games, you're. It's not just two regular games like, oh, yeah, I'm about to play this bum team and then play it. I'm going to play this really good team and then I'm going to play this bum team. So like, No. You're preparing for the grownest of grownest niggas getting a game and you decide to throw another game on the schedule on Friday. Like, that was stupid. Like, that was dumb. But, yeah, man.
Because it's not like y'all team are super deep. So you're like, hey, we can put the backups in. Like, y'all didn't have no backups. It was,
like said,
we got out there.
Like I said, shot.
The initials are BS.
Hi. but yeah.
BS.
but I'm like, there was clearly a lot that was going on behind the scenes, like as far as money and how he was getting. Because he wasn't doing all this just off the money that, you know, off the PPP loans.
Somebody was funding something. Went into hiding.
There was some people in the back that was definitely, because why would you just add a game? You add a game because there was money there to add a game and all that. You know, like, so there was a bunch of stuff that was going on behind that that it didn't show. But Crazy Doc, definitely entertaining.
This was a great supplement after we didn't get everything we wanted from Florida Documentary. So.
This is what we got to
the shits.
This is what we wanted from the Florida Documentary.
Do better, Florida.
I was hiding way less on this.
Florida Doc, you got to get all the players that got kicked off the team to do it, Doc. And they can be like, are we going to tell you how the shit real went? Or the ones who didn't accomplish anything. You know what I mean? Let's hear from y'all.
Yeah, no, Roy wasn't the executive producer on the Doc. He would have made sure some of that shit did not get shown.
I thought he was about to start snapping on the director's team after a while because they were asking a question. He was kind of like trying to fade and they're like, all right, no, okay. You can't be avoiding these questions, but you know, I would say shout out to Roy, but no, I'm good.
No.
Also, too, Trillian Harris, I don't know if that's the name, quarterback.
Trillian, yeah.
Brother, that shit is over. I'm sorry. Wrap it up. Okay, I get it. You have dreams still playing college football at HBCU. Brother, just go to school.
Boy, and you're trash because, like, nowhere in that doc,
he didn't look cold in none of the highlights when he was practicing.
They didn't show him any highlights.
He wasn't getting busy.
They didn't show him complete not one pass. Like they would show him throwing, like, overthrowing and shit. Like, yeah, like, nah. I'm going to show these people I'm a dog. At least, if we're going to lose, I'm going to at least show them that
love
I'm a dog.
Mindset.
Get injury and still, bum ass play.
You know what type of storyline? He was trying to have a Cam Newton storyline where you go to like a small school, work on yourself, and then go crazy after that. He was definitely going for that angle. It's like, brother, no. I'm wrap it up.
Like I said, hey, man, but you weren't that good, man. Like I said, from the footage that we've seen, none of that footage was with me. Like, oh, yeah, he was, oh, man, that was some talent that didn't make. Nah, you weren't that good. But,
speaking of college.
But, yeah, the transition to college legitimate college football.
D1 college players.
Gophers won on Friday. Shout out to us.
Hey. Shout out to Gophers.
You know what I mean? Shout out to my Gophers. We starting out good like we always do. And
they played on Nebraska first game, right?
Yep. And to the big story, though. It was Coach Prime's debut. Yep. It was Colorado versus TCU. For people that don't know, TCU.
Give a round of applause. Round of applause, Coach Prime, man.
And Cleese is fire, too.
But so for people don't know, TCU is a powerhouse. They lost in the national championship.
Shout out my dog, LaDainian Thompson, for going there.
You know, previous year, so he had a tall order in front of him. So all the headlines, like, okay, like all the weight of the of you know everything was on their shoulders. Could Coach Prime win? You know, playing against top tier talent, like say there wasn't a warm up. They put him against, you know, the runner up for the chip, the second place or whatever for the chip last year, and same thing with the son, like Shador. Like, oh man, could you know? Yeah, you know he's winning, but can he?
Against this type of talent.
Can he do it against, you know, D1? You know,
who's he playing against?
Yeah, yeah. So, came out, great game. Travis Hunter played both sides of the ball damn near
129 snaps.
Crazy. Had touchdowns on both sides. Oh, not nah, well, defense.
That pick was nasty.
Defensively, he had a pick. Obviously, you know, had touchdowns, bunch of reception, bunch of yards, killed it. Like I said, Shador came out, had his best game of all time.
Boy, had a game of his life.
So, as opposed to playing against HBCU talent, where he's never thrown for 500 yards, playing against the second-best team in the nation last year, he threw for 500 yards, four touchdowns, no picks. damn near perfect pass rating if they did pass rating. That sounds pretty perfect to me. He did his thing, killed. Like I said, they ended up winning. It came down to, you know, the last few drives. Like I said, dope game. But, yeah, shout-out to Prime being able to do it. And then it was dope to see. I don't know, did y'all either of y'all check it or?
Oh yeah, I checked the highlights.
Yeah, I saw the highlights. I was at the house camp, but they had it like on the screen and shit showing. So I was like, all right,
you definitely want that. That was on when the game was on.
But not, I was at the mall. I'd be there early, like I'd be there like 4 p.m. So because I had to hand in like guest list shit. I'm saying I saw the highlights.
Yeah, at
this
time. Yeah.
No, I didn't say I saw the game.
Oh, yeah, I said that was one I was like, yeah,
y'all. No, because he said I saw the highlights. And I said, yeah, I was at the House of Comedy when they were showing the highlights.
But dope game, man. Like I said, came down to last couple drives. Defense stepped up, offense stepped up. It was great. But yeah, shout out to Prime, man.
Big shout out, man.
Shout out to Coach Prime.
It's praying our guys' downfall, man. But you know, it's nice to see him come through.
They had doubt. People was doubting, man. Y'all gotta start respecting Coach Prime, man. And shout out to him. He's been getting a lot of praise and stuff on the internet and all that stuff.
Deserving
so. Proving people wrong. But speaking of football, hey man, this whole the Shannon Sharp, Stephen A. Smith.
I was just thinking that too. It's crazy.
Heating up, man. Everything's heating up. You know, he did the interview.
That was good.
Good interview. Got a.
Oh, you ready, man?
Got people talking. Got
Tuesday. Tomorrow. Actually, we back.
Yeah.
September 4th.
Yeah. One of the clips. Shannon Sharp talking about like he didn't want the last 6 months to affect the 6.5 good years that he had over there.
Was nice way of saying, yeah, man. I wasn't fucking that nigga for months.
Like for that, them last 6 months, I did not fuck with Skip at all. Confirming people's suspicions and all that stuff and things that people would see on that
and
show.
And Skip's pattern like, for hosts, too. Like, yeah, at some point, yeah, it runs its course. Like, yeah, okay, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just like we said earlier, it was like 7 years is a good run. Yeah, that was a good run.
Like, you last longer than Jenny Taft did.
But yeah,
was also another way of saying I'm not gonna fuck like these last month. I'm not gonna fuck up the bet because boy, I was at the break point. Because it's not like even though the other years were perfect, like there were moments also within those years too. But like when he had the mindset, I'm leaving. I'm definitely not resigning.
It was him saying he was like, yo, like it's getting a little like, yo, you getting on my nerves type of shit. But he was trying to work through it because he was like, I'm not, to that statement, he was like, it wasn't like I was just ready to quit after 6 months. He was like, he probably thought they could have worked past it or whatever. But
nope.
It was just all right. But, and then Stephen A, they were saying like, oh, Stephen A was telling them like, oh, if this is happening, that means, this is happening over here. Like, that's happening. That means that's what they're doing over here. He's like, I'm just telling you this, you know, off experience. He's like, and Shannon's like, yo, that's crazy. You was telling me stuff. I'm like, I'm in Fox every day, and you telling me stuff that he's like, did it happen? He's like, it happened exactly how you said it was going to happen. So there was a bunch of, you know, behind the scenes, crazy stuff that was going on. And who knows? You know, like I said, I didn't watch the interview in full, but from the clips and stuff I seen, and it was like, okay, yeah. Like,
it's going to be good, man. We ready.
Time to go.
Time
because we see how undisputed is going right
and
now.
And then Rush dropped the numbers. Yeah, you got them pulled up. What the numbers are?
Go back to these numbers real quick. Hold on.
All that for a drop of blood,
man.
Because we go because this is gonna segue into the Stephen A. conversation of things with him and Skip.
I think Stephen A. posted it too. Which is
no. That we're gonna talk about that.
Yeah. So that what?
the numbers because apparently after all that it was it was a whole lot of hoopla. All these guests and people clowning it also because. It's Skip not getting to talk.
Yeah,
it was disorganized. It was a little bit of them
calling Skip the moderator. They didn't call, like the fans called like, yo, Skip is just the moderator.
It was clowning Skip, and then like, but you know, Skip fans and some of them got the case. Like, well, that's what makes him a genius. He's letting the other guy shine. he knows that this will get the people talking.
And look at his face the whole time. He's like,
no, yeah, his face said otherwise.
So, right? how the numbers?
So basically, the premiere of the new and improved Undisputed drew 131,000 viewers on Monday. 131,000.
That's the debut. That's the
compared to
First Take did 448.
Yep.
On their current roster right now.
I thought Monday was higher. But
and then Tuesday the gap widened with Undisputed doing 120, and then First Take was at 474.
Yeah. So can we safely say?
And then on Wednesday, Undisputed went down to 78,000.
Yeah. Ah! Grand opening, grand close. No.
The crazy part of that is. Shannon didn't even come on yet, so
that's the crazy part.
Y'all were competing with just regular First Take.
First Take,
just regular First Take.
Like nothing. And so now Stephen A. found that this was his chance to gloat a little bit, sharing this news of pettiness. I have this on the docket as Stephen A. Smith's pettiness. Him kind of gloating about it, the numbers in the viewership and the headline of Undisputed not being close and ESPN still having number one
big fish
in the ratings.
I wonder, despite the
Dream Team's debut.
Yeah, I wonder what the numbers were when Shannon was on. I wonder was it competitive. Because like I said, to overthrow a big fish like ESPN,
you're going up against ESPN.
I think their numbers were actually because somebody said they were at 82,000 last year viewers last. So I think they were kind of
like on average just on
kind of low in general.
But, like, what was it? Non-football season, football season.
So saying these numbers are kind of like not like.
Because I know it goes up down depending on
season. I'm like compared to so was she, like was it a drop? Did we see a huge drop from when Shannon was there or no? That's more so what I was trying to see. I don't know.
Not really, honestly. Because if there were 82,000 last year, then it's not that much, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just funny to talk
but
about.
But I know their highs were a lot higher than 82,000 because when they certain seasons like that whole winter with the backwards basketball, football, then summer it drops, so that brings the average down. Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be telling when like actual like you know you get football season started then we got still baseball like postseason which I know we don't talk about baseball like that.
I was cracking up too. You know basketball is probably when the ratings are the most high, but I was cracking up too because I seen Skip post out like oh man after Colorado beat TCU. I was like, oh man, I got so Monday's gonna be fun. I got Michael Irvin who's Deion's best friend. I got Keyshawn Johnson who's the only receiver to ever go number one overall. And then I got Richard Sherman who played the cornerback position and Deion Sanders was like the way he was trying to put this shit together, Deion Sanders was the best to ever play a position. And man, is Deion is he taking over the coaching world? I'm like, hey, Skip, you are really trying to sell the shit out this
trying, man.
He's trying to sell the shit out this product, man.
Also too, one thing I do want to talk about, I do think after watching like a couple of clips, I'm gonna stick on my bet that I think Sherman's the one that's gonna stick because he's the one I feel like he was the most like focused and kind of because even when he said the point
he's
like,
more better for the job.
Yeah,
Keyshawn's trying to be low late so he can like stay on so he don't ruffle the feathers to rock the boat. But
I think it's gonna
come down to Sherman.
Irvin does.
He should just be there Monday.
But. They did spark the debate that they both jumped up in.
Oh, the whole. Sherman's 100% right.
What's a harder position?
It's
cornerback or wide
receiver. I don't understand how it's even debatable. Like, corner's by far harder.
I'm like,
you're literally going backwards the whole time. Like, literally.
As a person that had to play that position for one play and then the coach immediately regretted it back in the eighth grade. When I got ran over,
and all the rules you got to follow as a corner
running
too.
Running backwards, and them niggas was fast.
Like, you can hold for what 5 yards, and you can't hold them. And you got to make sure you at least let them attempt to actually complete their route. Like you know what I mean? There's so much shit you have to do, and like most times, like hey, I'm gonna give this up, but I can't give up like 20 yards. Maybe I'll give you like two or three. But it's like it's so much.
Nope, keep me on special teams. Keep me on special teams, kickoff. I'm here.
But also, like not on that. I sent a clip to y'all that they were saying like corners. I think Jason Kelce was saying like it's corner. So he said they only let white people play it. Like that's how hard it is. But also, like so, not only do you have to mirror a receiver and guard them. You can't touch them, mm-hmm. and if you give like you have to play a perfect game all game. Like a receiver can play a great game like, you know, have a 100-some-yard gain and then somebody else scores a game-winning touchdown and that receiver still had a good game. If you give up, if you miss a tackle, bro, and if you give up that, you know, you could be guarding whoever perfect all game. Ain't you know, Revis Isles or whatever.
One slip up.
You done shut them down. That last play for that game winner, if you miss at any point, you had a terrible game. You're done. You're getting killed for the rest of the, like the margin for the margin of error that you have is none, basically. Like, either you got killed in the first half, or you got killed in the second half, or you gave up the big play, or you gave up the game winner, or
it's
whatever.
Not, it's not,
like, it. There's no, like I said, a receiver can have a good game, and then, oh, shit, the running back ran it in for the TD. All right, well, you know, we won, and I had a good game. I contributed to the win. No, the DB, like, shit, I should.
Because for me, I think the hard positions, I think it's quarterback, corner, and I might say offensive lineman, too. I might go with that, because I'm just like, I think that was a hard position, so I'm like, yeah, corner. That shit, it's just tough because also too, like a lot. Remember, I think when we were like, I feel like when we were coming up, if you didn't have like a bunch of interceptions, you were in a dope corner. Now it was like, all right, well, like, you had the era of the corners where it's like the low interceptions, but they're just a shit. Like, you don't throw to my side of the field at all. Like, you like Revis Island and shit like that. Like, so shout out to Sherman too. That's my guy, man. I fuck for Sherman.
I came out the bench to play safety, I also said that was, but, was the bullshit got my ankles broke.
But honestly, like, yo, it's like I said, you have to guard one of the, you have to guard the skill positions.
Yeah.
One as a cornerback. And also, there's no rules to help you. There's nobody to bail you out.
There really isn't.
Like, there's no, like, you have to, you have to always be, like, right? Like, a quarterback, obviously, you can say that's the hardest position in football because, mm-hmm. you know, all the stuff that you control as far as offense goes. But as a quarterback,
you're protected.
After your three-step drop, hey, you either handing it off to somebody else, that's your problem, or I'm throwing it to somebody and they got to run the touchdown. Like, this is like, this
is how I let go of the ball. My job done.
Yeah. Like, hey, once you catch it, hey, I did what I did. Like, you know what I mean? It is, like I said, and not to discredit quarterback, it is, you know, super hard. Probably the hardest position in sports. But cornerbacks, like, you got to guard the run, you got to guard the pass, you got to be able to tackle, you got to be able to bat down, swat down, and 9 times out of 10, you guard a nigga that's taller than you. Like, it ain't like we the same height and I can, you know, it's a fair fight of us jumping. No. I gotta be a supreme athlete because I gotta be able to jump with a nigga, with a Randy Moss who's 6'4" and I'm 5'10". And then they can
and jump. And so it's such anticipation, like, too, because you jump around the wrong way, you're getting cooked. Like.
And there's no rules for me. They're like, I don't get a, like, receivers, they get protected, or, oh, yeah, if you hit them in the air, that's pass interference, blah, blah. There's no, if I slap a, if I do something to a corner, there's no penalty that somebody can get.
Because you rarely see offensive pass interference against receivers. Yeah. Rarely. Like,
and it's like a hand-to-hand type of thing. It's like interpreted whatever way that's supposed to be interpreted in. But it's like, yeah, like, they don't got no help out there. Like, it has to be blatant for a receiver. Like, a receiver really has to push them off.
So then how did you feel about – when Sherman said that that was the worst advice that when he was talking
catch with
to
your body, even T.O. said the same
catch
thing
with
he's
your
like,
body. And how you feel about how Coke?
I told him to catch it with his body.
I'm the best I ever played in the picture. How you gonna tell me that's bad advice? we started coking up when you saw Michael Irvin, Cocaine Irvin.
I forgot what exactly what was said. Cocaine Irvin said, I tell him to catch with
his body. I told him to catch the ball with his body. Yeah. And Sherman said, that's the worst advice you ever could give him. And T.O. commented, and T.O. was like, yeah, that's terrible advice. He's like, you tell him to leave. Catch it with his body.
Don't catch it with your hands. Catch it with your body. I play corner. I will sweat. Don't tell them that. That is a terrible. How are you going to tell me that's a bad advice? And I'm the greatest.
Before he went to cocaine rage, the way he was explaining it was making some type of sense. But
And Sherman was like, nah, that's the worst advice.
You better catch it with your hands. You catch it with your body. I'm smaller than you, so I'm going straight to the body. I'm going to the body. I can't get to your hands. Catch with your hands. But like I said, before he went into cocaine rage, I kind of got what he was trying to say, and it was kind of making sense what he was trying to say.
The memes are like this is what Mike Irvin's telling you to do. It was like the meme. It was like the gif from Mean Girls with the girls catching football, like where it says like put it with it to bounce, like like. It was like, catch it with your body. Just bouncing off her chest.
And you can, and I don't know if you get, that's when you got the clip with Skip was talking to somebody. He was like, yeah, he said something. They had some segment. He was talking about how, like, he basically was saying they've been talking too much. So they ran out of time on the topic. And then I think Keyshawn was like, you saying we talking too much now? What are you talking about? So it's going to be interesting kind of seeing, like, how, like, the whole dynamic works. But also, too, this period is also kind of like the part where you're still trying to find dynamics. You're trying to figure out, like, what's going
to
work. So
No, he's trying to figure out who to cut. There's some niggas getting cut.
He had Rachel Nichols and Josiah Anderson on one episode. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Rachel Nichols was announced as part of the cast, and it was crazy not seeing her on Monday or whatever. Like, so it you know. Like,
my man's went and took all the people in ESPN that got laid off. Hey,
yeah, hey. Come on, man. Everybody get a trial. He acting like Roy. Everybody can come. Anybody can come.
Are you tired of Disney being all been?
Yeah. Skip moving like Roy out here, man. Anybody, everybody. Hey, we got something for you.
So also, too, I have a theory that this is coming along. Cause you know Skip does his podcast thing. I fully expect Skip to start shading Shannon Sharp in about a month and a half.
No, and see, we danced around it. No, the Stephen A is some shit that you got to address. Is Stephen A being petty towards Skip? Is he taking shots? Is he laughing at Skip? Do you think Stephen A?
Because you remember back when Stephen A made that comment about how, like, when first take, I forgot what he said, but, like, he said something about when first take, like, first started, about, like, how, like, he was a big part of it. He said something like that, and I guess, like, Skip did not like that. He actually talked about it on his podcast. I forgot the conversation, but I'm like, I fully expect him to probably say something about Shannon that's, like, probably a little.
Oh, petty. Yeah, I made you. He's gonna say some make shit another along me. That. Yeah, make another one, man. I see you trying, boy.
Yeah,
you can't make what was already built. Shannon Sharp was already he was. You didn't tell him how to be a personality. Like, he was always acting that. That was always Shannon Sharp's character and personality. You didn't create him in a lab.
No, not at all. With a box of scraps. but yeah, no, and with that, it's like. It's entertaining to see because I think him, you know, Stephen A and Skip understand the journalist, the broadcast, the whole, like, content. And they both are, well, yeah, they're getting good at the whole, like, content game or whatever like that. So I don't know because, like I said, Shannon has yet to show any, you know, malicious pettiness or anything towards Skip. He always gives his props. Just like how Stephen A always gave Skip his props. Like, I was done until Skip told him that they needed me because –
yeah,
the money was nasty. Triple
Nope. But that's what you're doing.
The money. So he brought him back on. So, you know, Skip, I'm not. So Stephen A. always, like, attributed, like, shit. I'm not, but I'm up now.
Yeah,
up and it's stuck.
I'm up now.
It was like
no, first take is mine now.
First take is mine now. And
sing song time.
And it really took off when it was finally me and you on the show. You try all the other types of people and all that stuff. You ain't get along with us. You couldn't find that. But every time I made an appearance on there, people was like, "This should be the show." And then you finally listened, and this became the show. And that's when it became.
And then you decided to leave. I don't know whatever your. You know, discrepancy was with ESPN, and you left. You went to FS1, but now,
because what were the ratings when it was Cold Pizza, and then when you turned it into turned in first take, the title existed, but it didn't become a hit until it was me and you as the official two going at it.
But yeah, so yeah, I don't see the Skip and Shannon shit because Shannon just been real, you know, like, professional about it, and Skip the same thing. That way, so I don't the Skip and Stephen A.
But Stephen A. That's what I'm saying.
They're probably
like, where do you see Stephen A. going? And Shannon hasn't even debuted on the show yet. How spicy do you think, Russ? How spicy do you think Stephen A. is going to get when the Shannon shit really starts to take off?
It's gonna be great.
Stephen A. a content creator now, so
he is.
Yeah, so he with the shits now. You know, content creators, they ain't no holds barred. They are negative or positive. They there for it.
Yeah, no, and Stephen A is definitely he's definitely basking in the ambiance. He's basking in all this glory and stuff. Yep. And Shannon ain't even got there yet. But shout out to that Club Shay Shay interview. I definitely think definitely good definitely good episode. In You Love to See It news, this entire week, this whole past week, Twitter. All the blogs, you know, people posting about him for the first time. People discovering Vince Staples has been getting all the love. And, oh, great. Like, exactly, it's, so. It's been amazing. It's been, you love to see it. It's been great. People, you know, ever since he did the episode, classic episode of the Joe Budden podcast, where, like, you know,
yeah,
him being him on a larger platform, and then everybody, and then that's when all of his interviews that he's ever mm-hmm. done, and
hands, moments, hands
funny,
down.
Funny, people find out how funny Vince Staples is.
The best interviewee of all time. Yeah.
Like, they put, you know, their
nigga interviews are hilarious.
Hilarious. Yeah, they pull
insightful. Everything just all together.
Yeah, just it's so many fun. Yeah. It's so many, and like people finding out how hard it is to stump Vince Staples when you ask him a question.
He got the answer.
And it'd be fine. Like, he's very witty. He's very quick with it. Like when they was doing the overrated, underrated, and they asked him about like Bill Nye, the Science Guy, and he had like an answer for it. And they said, Tom Cruise. And he said, underrated. Why? Because the mission was impossible. and he did it four times at the time. And then, like, yeah, no, they'll show like all the, like, his infamous lives and all that stuff. Where
but even like the Speedy interview, which he was like, man, you don't let nobody come to your house.
yeah, you got a good heart.
He's like, you be cooking for niggas. He's like, you don't come to Happy Wolf.
What thing you come to my house for?
What thing you come to my house for?
Yeah. all those complex interviews. His hot one interview. Fucking hilarious. His story about Boston and shit. His experience in Boston. Seeing a fight. Then he called the nigga Geisler. I said, well, we gonna watch this. Or he's talking about doing the concerts and all that stuff. How he has asthma. He's like, hey, could y'all not smoke? I got asthma. And then, like, you's a bitch, nigga.
or the classic, yo, Ray J.
Ray J will never take an L rant. Like, yo. He has so many classic moments.
It's too many to count. Man.
You love Moesha, don't like, you? You love VH1, don't you? Yeah, you love the Kardashians, don't you? Yeah. Ray J has had a hand in everything that's occurred in black culture. And he's the best. Having a Vince Staples interview, he will always get classic. They pulled up over the years. He's been this way.
Most consistent.
Very consistent.
Most consistent.
Since day one and all that shit. And like all to the early days of like 2012 and Mac Miller and all that stuff. Working with him and Mac Miller producing
the whole
for him.
Like, he's like, nah, I ain't rapping for niggas, man. I'm only rapping for Sway.
Well, if your name ain't Sway, I ain't rapping for your bitch ass. And that was also the vibe.
I came up here to sell a product to talk about how you want me to rap. What the
like, give me. I know you're here clearly for a reason, but I need you to rap. Give me 16. Y'all get the fuck off my face. If your name ain't Sway, I ain't rapping for you. And
he's telling me mad doing it, but
And I looked up that interview when they had him rap like just eight. Like keep going, put on more beats. Like, yo, we fucking up album shit now. Cause we about to get into some.
I remember that.
Album version, and then of course like that. Joe Budden podcast, the new infamous clip is that, like, when he's talking about the rappers, like, hey, get you a house, get something moderate, don't get security, don't get an HOA with that gate, ain't nobody looking for
your
bitch.
Ain't nobody looking for
you bitch. Are a bitch. Where's my camera? You's a bitch. You been a bitch. ain't nobody looking for you. You was a good boy. Your mom raised a good boy. Stop it. You embarrassing granny. You embarrassing granny is one of the most underrated parts about that. And then he also they always cut off at that part like you led prayer. You did praise dances. Like that was yes.
Big shout out to Vince.
Big shout out to Vince. I'm so glad. That he's getting his props and people are seeing on a larger scale what many of us, you
friend
know,
of the show.
Friend of the show that we have seen and known for quite some time now. Amen. And Vince Staples had a great quote that applied to this next part. Elon Musk is bringing voice calls to Twitter. I believe he responded with, he got a case coming. Elon got a case coming. Boy, he spoke that into fruition because Elon is creating chaos right now.
He's just making up shit at this point. Like, he's just thinking of shit to fuck it up. Because it's like, man, like, I don't know, man. Twitter was fun like two or three years ago. Now it's just kind of like shit glitchy. Like,
Twitter has gone through its ups. Of course, you have the OG Twitter days, which is whole different type of the Wild Wild West days. That's a different type of fun. Then you got the Twitter that we experienced a few years ago. You know, lots of fun. We're not taking anything serious. The pandemic Twitter gave us some great content. But Elon taking over Twitter,
it's the death of Twitter, man. Yeah, it's on the way.
Like he's
or X, whatever.
Or X, like
even the app don't even look. Shit don't even look dope anymore. They look crazy.
Like I don't like I don't even know. Like, do we respect the new name? Do we call it X?
I still like, call that shit Twitter. If you put in Twitter.com, it's shit. No, okay. That shit still put up Twitter on desktop. So
you just change the logo. You just change the profile pic.
I don't see the point of it. Like I said, obviously, you know, it's too late now. But I just never saw the point of it because it was like I don't understand what was wrong with Twitter. But and now it's something called like retweet. It's just called like repost and shit.
Repost, yeah. Ugh. And no more quote tweet and like what's the verbiage? Like we Xing somebody. I don't know. Like what the I'm calling it Twitter. His mama named Clay. I'm calling Clay. I don't respect with Elon, but Elon is making Twitter way more chaotic than
he's just bored, man. He's bored and rich.
Because what is that voice call shit supposed to do? Like you people are gonna you can just call anybody on Twitter. Like so now people's celebrities' phones can ring because someone's calling them on Twitter. Nonstop. You know what type of chaos that shit's gonna create? And he's getting rid of the block button. He's getting rid of the block button. And as chaotic as it should be seen, it'd be like, yeah, right. You know, everything he said he was gonna do, he's been doing.
He's a man of his word.
These features the app. Yo, the day he gets rid of block while simultaneously giving voice calls, people being able to voice call people on Twitter. Dark ages, man.
Because he flipped it. Because remember with the whole blue check thing and people paying for that. Now they've made it so you can monetize.
So
now if you get a bunch of impressions, you can get like $20. You know what I mean? So everyone have like that the random
and now everybody's gonna tweet some wild shit.
Now people are thirsty to do it now.
Yeah, Watch the Throne is not a classic. Yo, Ice, man, I'm not rolling.
Ice is tripping.
Like, can y'all name five songs off of the Watchdog? That was easy. Like, without even looking at the track list. Yeah, no Church in the Wild. Made in America. Otis. Who gonna stop me? That's my bitch. Take off. I mean, lift off. Niggas can always keep going. You know, Murder to Excellence.
He's just trying to. Ice being Ice, he's trying to be different. You know how people like that are.
But I also don't like people to bring up points and then
niggas embarrass.
Ask you something without you even being like, "What's on your closet? Name five songs." God damn.
I can name five songs.
Like, no, I'm just saying, like, I just hate when people do that in an argument. Oh, yo, you think this? Well, dude, like, nigga, damn, it ain't on the front of my mind. I was in defense just telling you that it was, and then now you.
There are albums that I enjoy that are not a classic and are not deemed a classic. But I like it, so I can name five songs from these albums. So it's like, does that make them a classic? Because I can name five songs. Like, no, that's terrible logic. That's stupid logic. Hey, show me where there's a law just because there's no law for it doesn't mean.
But their expectation is that you're gonna go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like even me, I think Born Sinner is J. Cole's best album. He'd be like, yo, somebody just ran up to me, tell me my mom was name five songs on Born Sinner. I'd be like, oh shit, it would take me a second. Like I think Take Care is Drake's best album. If somebody just ran up to me randomly, like name five songs on Take Care, I'd be like, oh, all right. You know what I mean, like I wouldn't be able like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like. You know, I hate the way that people weaponize that in an argument. Oh, yeah. Like,
people are thinking about the track list.
Oh, nigga, if LeBron, name five things Jordan do better than LeBron. it's a weaponized thing when, you know, are people weaponizing that
argument? It's a gotcha question that they think is legitimate.
To help shake your argument on why. Because you're supposed to be good. You can't even name it off the top. And they already got it in their head. Whatever they gonna say, well, I'll name this off the top, and then like they just weaponize it in a way. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. Like you're supposed to just off the top be able to with no pause, no uhs, no ums, no thinking about. It. Just supposed to be like, blah, 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 blah.
Like just spit that's off, a setup right
whatever.
There.
Whatever, but it happens all the time. Any debating argument. Oh, if you're trying to, well, name five. Name five things better than Doritos. If Doritos ain't the best chip,
name 10 reason songs. Name 10.
I probably could name 9 to 5 seconds that you expecting to answer in. No, give me. Let me look at my phone.
Tell